about you, but I feel God in this place today. The Bible says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. I want to tell someone, that scripture doesn't say there might be, could be, may be. It says there is freedom. And I'm believing that there are many people in here this morning who are about to leave here with freedom in some area of your life. If you believe it, come on, make some noise one more time. Now, before you're seated, I read somewhere recently that one out of every three people is good looking. So look to your left and look to your right and just tell your neighbor, it must be me. It must. It must be me. No, I'm just kidding. You may be seated. You all look good in this place. I am from Texas. That's that weird sound that you're hearing whenever I open my mouth. That's Texas for you. So I may say y'all, I may say a few words like that. Just know I'm just from Texas. You know, everywhere that I go, people, when they find out I'm from Texas, they ask me, do you own an oil well and do you ride a horse to work? And I have to disappoint them every time and say, I have neither. But if you know somebody with an oil well and they want to give it to me, I'll take it. Come on, amen. So good to be with you this morning, and it truly is an honor and a privilege to stand here. And I do pastor in Houston, Texas, with my brother and my parents before us who led the charge ahead of us. And you know, growing up in a pastor's home and growing up in ministry, one of the things that you learn is that it's easy to see a stage and to not see the sacrifices that built it. It's easy to see a platform in any area of life and to overlook the pain that laid the foundation for it. And so before I go any further this morning, I just want to give honor where honor is due and honor your senior pastors and the lead pastors of this house for every sacrifice that they've made so that we can come together this morning and encounter God. Come on, let's honor your pastors. They deserve it. And it's such an honor. Pastor Brad asked me to come, and I'm just privileged to be standing here with you, and I'm excited about what God is getting ready to do. You have your Bible with you this morning? Why don't you go with me to the book of Acts, chapter number 27. Acts 27. Go to verse number 14, and I'm going to read from the NIV version. Scripture should be on the screen, so if you're following along and you don't have that version, you can follow on the screens. Acts 27, verse number 14. And it says this, before very long, a wind of hurricane force called the Northeaster swept down from the island. And the ship was caught by the storm and could not head into the wind, so we gave way to it and were driven along. This is Luke writing here, and he and Paul are on a Roman ship, and the Bible says that they get into a storm. The wind begins to blow, and I want you to get this visual where Luke writes that we couldn't head into the wind, so we gave way to it and were driven along. What he's saying is we let the wind carry us. I want you to turn with me to the book of Matthew. Go to Matthew chapter number 14. One of the most familiar passages in all of the Bible, one of my favorites. But I hope this morning to shed just a little bit of a different perspective on this. Matthew 14, verse number 22. And it says, immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. And after he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. And later that night, he was there alone in the boat, already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves. And I want you to look at this last part, because the wind was against it. So we read one passage where Paul finds himself in a situation where the wind carries him. And we read here where the disciples get in a situation where a storm picks up and the wind is against them. And I want to talk to you this morning just for a few minutes from this thought, whichever way the wind blows. Look at your neighbor and tell him, whichever way the wind blows. The year was 2008, almost 10 years ago now, where a much younger Pastor Matt Austin was convinced by a group of my extremely intelligent friends that the best way to celebrate my 18th birthday was to go to a magically enchanted place in Houston, Texas called Skydive Spaceland and jump out of a perfectly good airplane. How many of y'all know that peer pressure will make you do some crazy things? My parents always said, if your friends asked you to jump off a bridge, would you do it? And I tell them, I did one better. I went 10,000 feet up in the air and jumped out because my friends asked me to do it. And what I remembered about that time, the first time that you skydive, is you have to sit through hours of preparation courses. Anybody ever gone skydiving before? You remember. You sit through hours of courses. And about 10% of all of that time is spent learning how to skydive. The other 90% is going over all the reasons you can die by doing this. Ooh, I don't think I've ever been more scared in my life. But you see, I'd come too far. I'm a grown man. I'm 18 and pride is on the line. And my friends are here, so I'm going to jump out of this plane. And I remember we get on the plane and you know you're in trouble when you get on an airplane that doesn't have sides. I'm thinking, there's a door here somewhere. They're going to come close this. There were no doors. We take off, and I'm looking at the ground as we go higher and higher and higher. And I had the privilege of going last. Which means that I got to watch each and every one of my friends jump out first. And I don't know if they lived. I don't know. I don't know if they died. I don't know if they were raptured out midair. I don't know what happened. I just know they're gone and I'm next. And I remember the first time that you skydive, you have to go with an instructor. And so this guy is literally strapped to your back. And, you know, we kind of creep up. And this guy's having to walk for me because I wasn't walking towards that edge. And so he's pushing me. He's like, I'm going to have to jump for this kid because he's not going to do it. And we get up to the edge and you look down and, you know, you don't see normal sights that we see every day. Like, you know, the things we love about life, like cars and people and houses and trees. You don't see any of that. You just look down and it's this big grid, checkerboard of land, 10,000 feet up in the air. Terrifying. And I remember we get to that edge and the guy gets ready to jump and I'm not going to do it. And finally, he just jumps. Now, I don't remember in the instructional videos them saying anything about opening your mouth when you jump. Because if I would have remembered that, I most certainly would not have done what I did. Which, when we jumped, I had a four-letter word that came to my mind that I thought most effectively described my emotions at the moment. And I wasn't particularly saved. Well, come on, church, let's just be honest. I wasn't saved at all. I wish I could tell you I said Jesus, but you can use your imagination. And I opened my mouth and said this word, only to discover that once my mouth got open, I couldn't get it closed. So here I am like this. Falling from 10,000 feet and quite literally the force of the wind was so strong that I could not exhale. And for what felt like an eternity, but in actuality was probably just a few seconds. Thank God I got my mouth closed and I lived to see another day. But I learned on that day just how powerful the wind can be whenever it's blowing against you. And now, almost 10 years later, they have indoor skydiving places. Have you ever seen these places? Now, if I'd have known those places existed, I would have done that first. And there's a difference here. And what you know about these indoor places is, as opposed to you falling from a plane, which causes the wind to blow against you, these places are essentially wind tunnels that will produce a wind that quite literally will lift you up. So in one situation, you're falling, the wind's against you. And in the other situation, the wind is carrying you up. We read in the Bible about two different instances where the wind was blowing with someone and the wind was blowing against someone. And I can't help but notice this morning that there are so many seasons of life. And it just seems like there are times when the wind is at your back. There are times when the wind is just with you. Anybody know those seasons where things are just working out? Things are going your way. You're catching all the breaks. Your favorite teams are winning all the games. You get in that relationship with that person, and they are the person of your dreams. You've been praying for that promotion, and not only do you get the promotion, but the jerk you can't stand gets fired, and it's a double portion blessing in the office. Come on. It's one of those seasons. Things are good. But it's amazing to me just how fast things can change. It's amazing to me just how quickly the wind can change directions. And it seems like one day to the next, all of a sudden, everything is against you. You get in that relationship with that person, and you thought she was an angel. But 6 months later, you find out she was Satan's mistress all along, and you didn't even know it. And she slashed your tires. She threw your clothes all over the yard, started a fight with your mother, then put it all on Facebook, because that's how they do in 2017. I felt my help coming right there. Somebody is a witness. Ladies, oh man, he was the one, because he looked good. But he don't have a job. He doesn't go to church. And now you're stuck with the wind against you. You were praying for that promotion, but the jerk got the promotion and now he's your boss. It's one of those seasons. And those are funny examples, but I think all of us know what it's like when the wind is against us. I remember in that time of falling, the wind was so strong I could not breathe. And sometimes in life when things come against us, it seems like we can't catch our breath. Seems like they come at us so fast, and we've been doing the right things. We've been praying for something to break. We've been praying for something to change, but things don't change in the way that we want it to. In fact, things get worse. Have you ever been through something and you prayed and you believed God and you've been showing up to church and things don't get better? In fact, they get worse. You prayed for healing and the MRI comes back and it's worse. You prayed for financial stability, but the debt keeps growing. The thing is getting worse. There are some seasons in life where the wind is just against us. And so I ask the question this morning, how do we respond to the wind? That's what we need to know. If we know we're going to face trouble, if we know we're going to go through storms, then we need to know how we respond to the wind. And I brought something with me from Houston that I'm going to drag out from under this seat. And y'all should have seen me. I said, y'all. Y'all should have seen me try to get this thing through security. I don't know if they thought I was ISIS. I don't know. I tried to tell them I was just a preacher. They wouldn't believe me. But I brought with me from Houston a wind chime. And I did a little research on wind chimes, and I found out that a wind chime is a percussion instrument, as you can hear, that is created or made from suspended tubes, rods, or bells. Most of the time, they're made of wood or metal, but I've even seen like Coke cans or bottles. But a wind chime essentially is an instrument that you can hang outside of your business or your residence because of its visual and acoustic appeal. I found out that if you're a gardener, that you can hang one of these outside of your garden and it will scare the birds away from eating your fruit and the seeds that you plant. For whatever reason, they don't like the sound that it makes. The wind chime, you know, it's amazing. It was the Chinese in about 1100 BC, so 1100 years before Jesus. They were among the first to appreciate this song that a wind chime makes. And they masterfully constructed, masterfully created beautiful wind chimes that would sing unbelievable melodies whenever the wind began to blow. We read about the disciples who were caught in a storm. We read about Paul who was carried by the wind. And we've asked the question this morning, how do we respond to the wind? And for just a few minutes, I think it'd be best if we just let the wind chime preach this message. You know what I love about the wind chime? I love that it doesn't matter to the wind chime which way the wind is blowing. The wind can blow from the north, and this wind chime is going to sing. The wind can blow from the south, and this wind chime is going to sing. You see, because it was made, it was created, it was constructed to produce a sound. And Psalm 148 and verse number 5 says, let all things praise the name of the Lord because they were created at His command. And I've come here this morning from Houston, Texas to tell somebody and remind somebody else that it doesn't matter which way the wind is blowing. It doesn't matter which season of life we're in. We were created to produce the sound of praise. We were created to produce the sound of worship. And the Bible says that God is seeking those that will worship Him in spirit and in truth. God is on a search this morning for people like a wind chime that say, whichever way the wind blows, I'm going to sing. Whichever way the wind blows, I'm going to worship. Whichever way the wind blows, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise will continually be in my mouth. Come on, where are you, wind chime? Why don't you take a minute this morning and just let God know that whatever comes your way, whatever you face, whatever the storm is, that you'll never lose your praise. Whichever way the wind blows, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. You may be in the storm, but if you've got breath, you've got a reason to praise Him. You may be in the middle of a dark night, but if you've got breath, you've got a reason to lift your voice this morning. Oh, whichever way the wind blows, we got to respond in praise and with worship. Because if the enemy can steal your song, he can defeat you. If the enemy can steal your praise, he can defeat you. But I'm here to serve notice on the enemy that we refuse to go out quietly. I'm here to tell our enemy that silence is not an option. But whatever he throws our way, whatever we have to go through, we're going to go through it with a song in our hearts, with praise in our spirits. Whichever way the wind blows, don't you lose your song. You may have lost a lot of things in life, but as long as you hold on to your faith, your praise, that song, all God needs is what you got left. Doesn't matter what you've lost. God's got a plan for what you got left. Thought about Bartimaeus. The Bible said Bartimaeus was Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus. But here he is, and he's not the son of Timaeus anymore. The Bible calls him blind Bartimaeus the beggar, which means at one point he had a family of note. He was Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus. Somewhere he lost his family name. Somewhere he lost his stable upbringing. He lost his affluency. And here he is begging on the side of the road. Bible calls him blind Bartimaeus, but it doesn't say he was born blind, like it does the man born blind. Just calls him blind Bartimaeus, which says to me that maybe at one point he had his vision, but somewhere along the way, he lost it. And so here's this man on the side of the road, and he knows loss. And there's someone in here, you know what it's like to lose some things in life. You know what it's like to lose friends and lose time and lose energy. You've experienced loss in life. Here's Bartimaeus, a man who's lost so much. Lost his sight, lost his money, lost his family. But he hadn't lost his shout. And the Bible said when Jesus came by, Bartimaeus used what he had left. And he began to cry out to Jesus, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy. People around him tried to shut him up, but the Bible said he just cried out all the more. Jesus, son of David, have mercy. And Jesus stopped and Jesus healed him. I'm telling somebody, it doesn't matter what you've lost. It doesn't matter what the enemy's taken from you. Whatever you've lost, your miracle isn't coming from what you've lost. Your miracle is coming from what you've got left. And if all you've got left is a song, if all you've got left is your praise, if all you've got left is worship, that's all God needs. Come on. If you still got some praise in your heart, why don't you give the Lord some praise? If you still got some worship left, if you still got a little bit of faith left, all God needs is what you've got left. You've got a reason to praise God in the storm. You've got a reason to sing through that storm. If you look hard enough, you'll find a reason to praise God this morning. You know, some people, they'll say, I can't praise God because I hadn't got this yet. Hadn't got my healing yet. Hadn't got my miracle yet. Hadn't got my answer yet. But sometimes we need to stop looking at what we don't have and remember what we do have. You got grace. You got mercy. You got the Holy Spirit. You've got Jesus. Woo! Oh, I can praise God when I remember what I've got. Because you can get to heaven with cancer in your body. You can get to heaven with crippled limbs. You can get to heaven with a broke bank account. But you can't get to heaven without Jesus. So if God doesn't ever do another thing for us, He's already done the best thing for us. So come on, you ought to give God praise like you got the best thing. You ought to give God praise like you've got heaven, like you've got life, like you've got the power of God on the inside of you. I will bless the Lord at all times. Because I may have to sail broken. I may have to sail in pain. I may have to sail discouraged. But I'll never have to sail alone. Woo! Oh no. The God of the universe is on my side. The God of the universe is on my boat. And the Bible said He would never leave me nor forsake me, but He'd be with me to the very end of the age. Somebody just needs to remember that God is right there with you. God is right there in the middle of your boat. And as long as Jesus is on your boat, it's impossible to sink. Oh, I can praise God when I remember that Jesus is with me. Because my God is alive. My God is well. He's not one of many. He's a one and only. We could get on a plane this morning and we could go to Sri Lanka. And I could take you to the Temple of the Tooth, where the relic tooth of the Buddha is. Just a tooth, but we could see it because when Buddha died, he stayed that way. We could get in that same plane and we could go to Saudi Arabia. And I could take you to the Green Dome where the remains of the so-called Prophet Muhammad are. And you could see his body. Millions see it every year. Because when Muhammad died, he stayed that way. But if we got in that same plane and we went to Israel, I could show you the tomb where the Romans put Jesus. But you wouldn't see a body because Jesus may have died, but he didn't stay that way. Oh, come on. He's never had a rival. He's never had an equal. He's not one of many. He's the one and only. He's the King of kings. He's the Lord of lords. He's alive and well. He's inside of our hearts. And He's in this room this morning. Come on, why don't you lift your hands up? Why don't you give God a shout of praise right there in the middle of the storm if you know that the living God is on your side? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, that you're on my side. Doesn't matter what the storm looks like. Doesn't matter what you're going through. God is still worthy of the praise. When my back's up against the wall, His back's still up against the throne. He's still in control. And if you hold on to that song, if you hold on to that praise, that circumstance is going to change. There's power in praise. There's power in worship. It's not magical. It's not some weird thing that happens. God says, I inhabit your praise. There's a reason why circumstances change when you worship God. There's a reason why the tide turns in the battle when we praise God. Because God said, when you begin to praise, I'm going to step down and inhabit that thing. Let me tell you something. Hell can't stay when heaven comes down. I don't care what the enemy's thrown at you. I don't care what life has thrown your way. If you'll give God praise, God will step down right into the middle of that thing and bring freedom into that circumstance. You can praise God discouraged, but you can't praise God and stay discouraged. You can praise God broken, but you can't praise God and stay broken, because things will change when you praise God. I want to ask everybody in this room to stand with me this morning. God just sent me here to remind somebody it's not time to go silent. It's not time to give up on God. The enemy's trying to steal your worship, steal your praise. But we're going to rise up this morning, look Him right back in the eyes, and say, no matter what comes our way, whichever way the wind blows, my God is worthy of the praise. Today, let Jesus be lifted up above every problem, above every circumstance, above every addiction, above every plan of the enemy. Let the name of Jesus be lifted up. And he said, if my name is lifted up, I would draw all men unto me. He's about to draw somebody closer than you've ever been to him. He's going to draw somebody right out of that valley and right into your breakthrough. Scripture in the book of Ezekiel, God begins to speak to the prophet. He tells Ezekiel, shows him a vision. He says, Ezekiel, look out into this valley. And Ezekiel looks, and what he sees is a valley of dead, dry bones. Bones that are broken, bones that are disjointed, dry bones. And God says, Ezekiel, can these bones live? Ezekiel says, God, you only know. And God says, Ezekiel, prophesy to the bones. Speak to them my word, just like I've done this morning. And Ezekiel looks out into that valley, and he speaks the word of the Lord. And the Bible says there was a sound. There was a shaking. There was a rattling. Before the bones ever even came back together, there was a sound. And after the sound, after the rattling, after the shaking, those broken bones began to come back together. And I'm looking this morning at an auditorium that's filled with broken situations, broken homes, broken dreams, broken hopes. But I'm telling you this morning, if right there in the middle of your storm, you can still make a sound, if you can still worship God, if you can still praise Jesus in the middle of it, God said, what's broken, oh, it can come back together. I believe this morning that broken situations are going to begin to come back together. Don't let the enemy tell you it's over. Don't let the enemy tell you that it's too late for God. It's never too late for Jesus. In the year 2009, I was sitting in a jail cell in Houston, Texas, facing 20 years behind bars. And my life looked like it was over. But this God that I've preached about, this Jesus that we've sang about, came and found me in a jail cell. And he took what was left of a life, and he gave me a hope. He gave me a future. He restored unto me the years that the locusts had eaten. And I'm standing here today because we serve a miracle working God. And it's never, never, never too late for Jesus. Disaster is not the end. Not when Jesus is involved. There's someone in here. This is your time to say, in spite of what's broken, in spite of those dry bones, in spite of that circumstance, God, I'm going to make a sound in this valley. I'm going to sing in this storm. I'm going to worship. And I believe that even right now, broken situations are going to begin to come back together. I want you right now just to close your eyes and stretch your hands up to heaven. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord, that you're here with us, that you're alive and well. Father, we thank you that you're always on the move, that you're always working, that you're always on our side. I pray right now that as we lift our hands and as we get ready to sing this morning, I pray that broken situations would begin to come back together in your presence. I pray that broken homes would come back together. Broken marriages would come back together. Father, I thank you that broken children who may not even be here today are going to come back into your house and come back into your will for their lives. And Father, I thank you, Lord, that broken dreams are going to find new life. That dead hopes and dead prayers that we almost gave up on, God, you're breathing new life into them. Fresh joy is coming in this room right now. Fresh hope is coming in this room right now. As we sing together, why don't you make that your prayer? God, let all these broken situations come together as we sing your praises. Whichever way the wind blows, we're going to sing.